Were you in the service the night I resigned? Miller Road. I told the people many times. I've conducted many funerals. I've announced to people and broken the news to people about a loved one dying. But I've never seen a service. I've never seen a group of people as completely beside themselves as we were the night that I resigned, the pastor of the Miller Road Baptist Church of Garland, Texas. Now, for 16 years, I have been pastor of this church. Today begins my 17th year. And I've got to be one of the most criticized preachers in the world. And I'm afraid much of it is justified, but in spite of the criticism that so often is levied against me and saying that Hiles just dips them and draps them, and he does not reach the whole man and does not train the Christians or take them into the Bible. Now, that's always said to somebody that doesn't come to our church. It's always said to someone who doesn't know. But in spite of that fact, I've had one great consuming goal through these years. And that is to build Christians who are mature. The Bible word for maturity is the word perfect. What it means is complete. It means not being tilted. I want our people to go soul winning, but that's not all I want them to do. I want them to preach on the streets, but that's not all I want them to do. I want them to learn how to pray, but that's not all I want them to do. I want them to learn the Bible, but that's not all I want them to do. I want to grow a generation of people here in this church who are well-rounded, mature Christians, who love the Word of God, know how to get their prayers answered, live clean, separated Christian lives, and a great burning evangelist of soul winning. I want us to be well-rounded. I was watching these kids down here in the strength and beauty. I see the beauty, but I don't see any strength in this ensemble. But I was watching these kids, and I was thinking, that's what I want. I don't want a bunch of just soul-winning people that don't know anything else. I don't want people that just know how to pray, and that's all. But I want our young people, and I think you know this is true, that our young people are trained in every facet of the Christian life. Dr. Bob Jones III wrote me a letter one time, and he said, "Dr. Hiles, there's there's something different about the young people of the First Baptist Church of Hammond. There's something different about them. Now, not all. I wish that could be said about all of them. But I've tried to have a ministry here that would reach the person and make a well-rounded Christian." In the call of Ezekiel, God gave him a vision of four living creatures. These living creatures may or may not be the same ones that are mentioned in Revelation chapter 4, chapter 5, who sing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." They may or may not be those. But the interesting thing about these four creatures is this, that each of these four creatures had four faces. The face of a man, the face of a lion, the face of an ox, and the face of an eagle. Now, I think there's something more to it than just these creatures happening to have these faces. I think God is telling us that He wants every one of His creatures to possess the qualities of these four creatures. The face of the lion, the face of an ox, the face of an eagle, and the face of a man. I'm afraid far too many Christians only have the face of a lion, and that's all. They're strong, they roar, they fight, they have courage, but that's all they have. On the other hand, I'm afraid that many of our Christians have only the face of the ox, who works, toils, but that's all. Well, I think there are those who have the face of an eagle. They soar high. They like to have fun. They like to say amen. I'm not against that. God knows I'm not. They like to live it up, shout, praise the Lord. And they have the face of an eagle. When it comes to courage, they don't have the face of a lion. When it comes to strength, they don't have the face of a lion. When it comes to working, they don't have the face of an ox. But I believe that God wants His people to be well-rounded, total Christians. Now, I want to call your attention for a while, and it won't be long tonight. I want to call your attention. Each of these faces. Now, can you imagine for a few minutes, please, a Christian person standing here? And if you would let me just give him four faces. The face of a lion, the face of an ox, the face of an eagle, and the face of a man. Now, in the first place, God is telling us, I think, that He wants every Christian to have the face of a lion. That means God wants us to be strong in the Lord. Moses said to Israel, as he was passing off the scene, he gathered his own. And in his parting words, Moses said, "Be strong in the Lord." When David had gathered the material for the building of the temple, he called his son Solomon to him. And David looked at his son Solomon, and in David's dying days, he said, "Solomon, be strong in the Lord." When Azariah, the prophet, was admonishing King Asa, he said to King Asa, "King Asa, be strong in the Lord." When the Lord spoke to Isaiah and called Isaiah to a ministry of being a prophet, the Lord said to Isaiah, He said, "Be strong and fear not." And God called Daniel for that ministry in Babylon, the great ministry of being a prophet and a seer. God said to Daniel, "You're going to be away from home now. You're going to be in a far country. You're not back home. You're in the land of the enemy. And you're very popular. And you're rising to the top. Don't forget, Daniel, be strong in the Lord." Paul wrote the Corinthian people. And Paul said to the Corinthian people who were carnal Christians and backslidden and not serving God as they should and having divisions in the church, Paul said, "Be strong in the Lord." Paul wrote the Ephesian church, that big church, the biggest church of all, I think, in the New Testament, apart from Jerusalem, and maybe Antioch. Paul wrote a big church at Ephesus, the biggest of the seven churches in Asia Minor. And Paul said, "As you grow, I want you to have more than bigness. I want you to have more than prestige. I want you to have more than numbers. I want you to be strong." He said, somebody will say about me, "All house wants his numbers." That's not true. No, that's not true. You hear my preaching, you'll know that's not true. I don't only want numbers, I want quality. I want the members of First Baptist Church to be clean and separate and dedicated. I want people in Hammond, if they don't like us, I want them to at least say there's something different about those people. I want our folks to have quality. I don't want our folks hobnobbing with the devil's crowd. And I never will. I never will. If God will keep me saying never, sacrifice quality for numbers. Sure, I want to reach all the folks we can. Sure I do. But while we reach them, I want to be sure that every brick we lay in this church has good mortar between it and the next brick. I want to be sure that the foundation stands firm. And so the apostle wrote to the big church of Ephesus and said, "Be strong in the Lord." Paul wrote young Timothy, his preacher boy. As I write our boys so often letters, Paul wrote young Timothy. And he said, "Young Timothy, don't forget this. Be strong
in the Lord for 16 years. For 16 years. Not only have I tried as best I could to be the kind of pastor who was strong, but I've tried to build a people who are strong. The lion's face. Let me ask you a question. You have a lion's face tonight? You have the face of a lion? Are you strong? Do you have the courage of a lion? Moses said to the spies who were going into the promised land to view out the land, Moses said, be of good courage. Have a lion face. Be strong and be courageous. Moses said, be of good courage. Moses said to Joshua, when Moses was passing off the scene, he called Joshua to his side. And he said, now Joshua, I'm leaving. And God is leaving you in charge. God has called you to be my successor. Moses said, be of good courage. In fact, three times he said it, be of good courage. God said to Joshua, after Moses' death, three times he said it, be of good courage. Joshua said to the leaders of Israel, as he took over, realizing Moses, the leader, was gone, the servant of God was gone, Joshua spoke to all the people and said, be of good courage. David spoke to his people as he gathered material for the temple and said, be of good courage. And David called Solomon, his son, to his side when David died, and he said, Solomon, be of good courage. Oh, these timid Christians. These Christians that are ashamed to stand for Jesus Christ. God, give us the face of a lion. God, give us strength and courage. As the world turns liberal, let's hold our fundamental position. As the world laughs at this book, let's carry this book. I was walking down the airport. I was carrying a big family Bible. Some of the fellows trying to sell us a bunch of big family Bibles. And a big family Bible, I mean one of these great big things. I was carrying it through the airport. I was going to meet somebody at the airport that I was supposed to give it to. They'd let me have it for a while to see it. And I had to carry that thing on the trip to Murfreesboro. I had to carry it through the airport in O'Hare Field and carry the thing on the airplane. Almost a crazy thing. No Bible's a crazy thing. But I had to carry that big thing on the airplane. Had to carry it. Now we're preaching and left it in my room. Had to carry it back to the airport. And somebody saw me that knew me at the airport, and they walked up and said, your soul winner's testament is the biggest I've ever seen. But, okay, carry a Bible with you and let folks know you belong to God. These folks would have no courage to witness, and you folks that are afraid, no strength or courage to stand for God at work, and you folks that do not have courage to say no, and you folks that don't go upstream, and you folks that are not willing to dress differently. And you folks, you men, I guess you're men that want to wear your hair like the heathen world. I don't know why you do it. You haven't got enough courage to get a haircut. That's your problem. You don't want to be different. You want to look like the world. Most people who go into sin, now listen to this carefully. Most people who go into sin don't like it at first. You ever see anybody smoke his first cigarette? Anybody here ever? Remember when you smoke your first cigarette? Joe Boyd used to say, God didn't have to cure me from smoking. My first cigarette took care of that. I never smoked a cigarette, but I've seen folks who have. And they don't enjoy it. Okay, then pray tell me, why do you do it? There never has been a person who starts smoking cigarettes who didn't do it because they're afraid to be different. They wanted to conform. That's why. Did you ever see anybody drink liquor? Huh? Why? Doesn't taste good. That's why. Why do you do it? I don't know why you do it. You don't have the face of a lion. You won't say no, you young ladies that sell yourself out on some date and give yourself to the lewd, wicked, vile hands of a young man, not a man, a yellow coward. Hadn't got enough manhood to be decent and honorable. And you say you let him paw on your body and touch you and neck and kiss and hug and pet. As long as I live, I'll never accept it as being right for young people. Never will. Never will. You know why you do it? You don't have the face of a lion. you don't have the strength and courage to say no. As I said before, get you a high-heeled shoe and wear it. Hit him in the head with it. You young men, get in your little huddles. Talk about she's a soft touch. Get your wicked paws off that young lady. Get off! The only reason you can't say no to the temptation is because you don't have the face of a lion. You have no strength. You have no courage. Listen. You are not a man. That's the problem. You fellows that can't say no on the job to the beer and the martinis and the cocktails. You can't say no when they're betting on ball games, the World Series coming up, and you can't say no. You can't say no to the dirty jokes, and you can't walk away when they're talking about lewd, sexy, filthy things. What you need to do is get a face like a lion and have courage. Courage to stand. Courage to live. Courage to die. Courage and strength. God says, I want you to have the face like a lion. Say, have you had the courage this summer? That's why some of you young ladies, when you went home, you dressed like they do at home. No courage. You went back to the old dress. No courage. Went back to the old crowd that played the rock music. No courage. Somebody said, Brother Hans, Brother Long Ghost said, when are you going to stop hollering and screaming about rock music? As soon as the last record is broken. That's exactly what I'm going to do. I don't like your preaching. I don't like your living either. Courage. Courage. There's a second phase. These four preachers had the face of a lion with strength and courage. By the way, our Lord is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He who had the ultimate in courage. And he who had the ultimate in strength. There's a second face. And that face is the face of an ox. Not only does our Lord want us to be the kind of people who stand and stand alone if needs be. Not only does our Lord want us to be the kind of people who have strength and courage to live and die for our conviction and stand against evil and stand for right. Our Lord wants us to have another side, another face. And that is the face of an ox. And we find in the Bible the ox was used for two things. Mainly, the first thing it was used for was a beast of burden. To work. To work. Did you ever hear anybody say, boy, he worked me like an ox at work today. Or he works like an ox. Why? Because the ox is a beast of burden. And our Lord is saying, I want you to have one face that has courage and strength. Now I want you to have another face. It works. I have more respect for most anybody than somebody who's lazy. I guess there are two things that I just hate. Hate? Yeah, I hate the things. You say, do you hate the people? I don't know. Let me answer that. Let me think about that a while. But there are two things that grind me more than any other two things in the world. One is a sissy. Is a sissy. And the other is somebody who's lazy. Oh, the other day, I was on the airplane. And at the airport. And a fellow walked up to me. I say a fellow. I'm not sure. It walked up to me. And I heard a voice say, are you Dr. Hines? And I turned around, and it was standing just like this. And it said, are you Dr. Hyatt? It took four custodians to mop up what I emptied on that floor. I mean, I didn't really do it, but I felt like it. The word is vomit. There's something about a sissy. I mean, you've seen him.
Every school has them.
And the second thing, that's one reason I don't like Billings.
I love him, in spite of his effeminate tendencies. The second thing I can't stand is somebody won't work. I mean, just won't work. Brother, listen, everybody can't sing. And everybody can't preach. And everybody can't teach. And everybody can't be dynamic. But I don't care who you are, you can W-O-R-K work. God says, I want you to have a face, one face like a lion, with courage, conviction, strength. Then he said, I want you to have another face like an ox. Work. Work. Oxen's job was to blow, to plow and to drag and to tread and to work. And by the way, something else about an ox too. You've heard yoke of oxen? You never saw in the Bible a yoke of lions? Or yoke of eagles? Yoke of oxen. Girls, yoke of oxen. Why? Because oxen can work together. Let me ask you a question. Can you work with somebody? That's one reason why we're not going to sit in judgment here at Hiles Anderson College on other Christian schools. That's one reason why we're not going to sit in judgment on other preachers who preach the Bible. That's one reason why, and you know this is true, not one time in 16 years have you ever heard come across this pulpit from these lips, or outside this pulpit either, anything of criticism from this preacher about a man of God who believes this book and is trying to get the job done for God. Why? Because God says, I want you to a face like an oxen. What kind of face? The kind that can work together. Work together. Something else I hasten to say about an oxen, that is, an oxen was used for sacrifice. Especially the burnt offerings. Oxen was used for sacrifice. God wants us to have a face like an oxen. He wants us to sacrifice. He wants us to lay our bodies on the altar of sacrifice. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And I was thinking last night, as I was going through this message again, I was thinking, I believe that God has given me somewhat in these 16 years the face of a lion. I believe I've stood. I don't think I've cut my message or compromised. I think I've been strong enough to be willing to be called a nut and a fool and be hated. I think I've worked. I know I've worked. God knows I've worked. I mean, boy, that's one thing I've done is work. But this matter of sacrifice, I mean, this matter of saying, all on the altar, dear Jesus, Master, I hear thy call. Somewhere I know thou canst use me. I must surrender my all. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and find peace and sweet rest when you yield him your body and soul. I was thinking about this. I put myself on the altar and it seems like I keep getting up again. I put myself back and it seems like I get up again. But if I know my heart tonight, I want to be on the altar. I want God to have it all. I want God to have everything. And I want to have a face like an ox. A face like a lion. God said each creature had first a face like a lion. Courage. Strength. And then he said a face like an ox. He works. And he works with others. And he's a sacrifice. He's given all of it. There's a third face that each of these had. First was the face of a lion. Then was the face of an ox. And third was the face of an eagle. The face of an eagle. Now why an eagle? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, Isaiah said. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants you to be more than a one-sided Christian. We have some folks tonight in this room that you pray and you do talk to God and you stay in the book, but you never pass out a tract. You never do feel have a bus make a bus visit. You never win a soul to Christ. You never go on a street corner and knock on and witness. You never knock on a door. Never go house to house. I mean, you're sort of a tilted kind of a Christian. You're not well rounded. God wants you to have the complete Christian life. There are others of you that You're soul winners. But you never stay in the Bible. You never spend any time walking with God in prayer. You don't know God real well. And you're tilted. Not well-rounded. Not mature. Not complete. Not perfect in the Lord. And so I'm saying, God gives us this first face of the lion, courage and strength to stand and fight. Then he said, I want you to have the face of an ox. And then he said, I want you to have the face of an eagle. Now, why an eagle? Because of all of God's creatures, I guess an eagle can see the farthest. I suppose the best vision of any of God's creatures is that vision of an eagle. And I want my people to have vision. Look, folks, we're not going to stop where we are now. I mean, a fellow asked me when I first came here, we had about 1,200 in Sunday school. He said, Brother House, when is this all going to stop? Shoot. Never going to stop. Across the country, folks, of the house, where do you go from here? Up! That's where eagles go. Up! 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 On! Forward! Never turning back. Never stopping. Never quitting. Always soaring higher and higher and higher and higher. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Why? God says I want you to have the face of an eagle. Higher and higher and higher. A vision. More vision and more vision as you go higher and higher. 5 years ago, I stood in this pulpit one night. I spoke on my vision. All over Hammond, the word got around that preaching us having visions now. Visions. I spoke on my vision. And that night we didn't have a single school. We're running about 4,000 in Sunday school. That's been about 5 years ago. You stop and realize all these schools, most of these buildings, have come into existence in the last 5 years. I said, God has given me a vision. I'll never forget it. I said, I see in my vision an elementary school where our boys and girls can go to school and hear the Word of God preached and believed and taught. Where our boys and girls can have prayer before they have a class, and where every teacher not only believes this book but loves it and tries to propagate its message. I have a vision. I said that night I have a vision of a high school where our boys and girls can be taught God's story of creation and not some fool Darwin theory of evolution. I said that night, we're going to have a school that teaches what God says about it. Not that Darwin says. One little said little round glob was crawling one day and trying to wiggle and having plain thing to move with. And all of a sudden he got a wart. And that wart began to grow. And he got another wart. And it was just not far from the first wart. And so he'd dig that wart in the ground. Anybody got any warts? I can dig that wart in the ground. And as he'd wart down the street. The warts got infected. And they began to grow. And they got more infected and began to grow. Well, God bless you, when at penicillin back in those days, none of us ever walked on our feet. How about you? My legs ain't two abscesses, brother. They're real. God made them that way. And some fool said that's the way legs came into being. And then there's a couple of little spots came up on the top of that little glob. Well, pray tell me, if the thing is a round glob, what is a top? And those little things were sensitive. And the sun glared at them. And after a while, eyes came. I said, I have a vision. People to the house, is your school scholarly? Now, we're more scholar than that garbage they teach that, about that evolution junk. You say, Brother Hiles, I want you to know I believe in the theory of evolution. The very fact that you said it that way means you're a fool. If you believe it, it's no theory. The fact that you say theory means it's not proved. It comes as a great shock to you folks that are so educated that you still believe that. I know you think I'm a nut, but did you... You know something? I think you're a nut too. You think I'm not scholarly. I think you're an idiot too. I mean, I don't mean I think you're sinful. I think you're dumb. I mean, I don't mean that I think you're just not a fundamentalist. I think you got a weak mind. Bats in your belfry. I don't think you're mentally capable. You ought to be in a cell somewhere. That's where you came from. You came from one cell, we should go back to it. Had a vision that God would give us a college. With refinement and scholarship and yet zeal, where our students would spread across this great Chicago area like a prairie fire reaching for God. Had a vision. Now I've been flying a little higher lately. The vision's getting bigger. Say, what is it? I don't know, it's not clear yet. My vision right now is to pay for my last vision. Now I wish God would give me enough money to finance my visions. But Eagle has great vision. And now tonight, in these five... By the way, that night, I said... That isn't all. I said in 5 years. No, I said 10 years. I think I said. I said you'll see the day when we have 10,000 average in Sunday school. And before I finished that, I said to myself, "Self, you're a fool." I went to my office and looked in the mirror in my office, and I said, "Did you say what I think you said? You said 10,000. Nobody's ever heard of 5,000 in Sunday school. Biggest Sunday school in the world runs 4,000. Of 4,500. And you said 10,000. Boy, stick your neck out. Just go ahead and stick your neck out. One fellow got a priest on Have a Dream out to college one day. I said, "What's your dream?" One guy got up and said, "To have a church that has 100,000 in Sunday school." You think you'll ever have it? I don't know. You'll have more than you folks that never dreamed. I want to be like an eagle. I want to have a great vision. No, I like to be around the men of God who have visions. No, I like to be around them. I recall as a young preacher, every time I'd hear Lee Robertson, man alive. Now, I guess there are greater preachers in the world, but nobody ever really just... I mean, here's it. This is it. That's right. Let's go. Let's move. This is the way we do it. And we're going to go. And let's move. And boy, he always stressed the first word in the sentence. And about four, he'd get me psyched. And I was down there one time at Temple and heard him preach, and somebody said, "What are you doing?" I said, I've got to build something or tear something down or burn something. I got to see something move. Now you listen to me. I want us to have the face of a lion with courage and strength. I want us to have the face of an ox with work and loyalty and sacrifice. But I want us to have the face of an eagle with vision. What God can do for us in the future. So Something else about an eagle. Did you know of all the creatures God has made, I guess the eagle more properly cares for his and her own than most any of God's creatures. Did you know an eagle not only cares for his own, but he does as much to teach his own character as any of God's creatures. The mother eagle, the parent eagle, will take a little eagle that gets a certain age, push him off of the nest. And that little eagle will flop and fly out through the air, down toward the ground. And then that mother eagle will leave and soar through the sky and come down and catch that little eagle before it hits the ground. Take it back to the nest and shove it out again. Then fly down and catch it again. Every time the little eagle is pushed out of the nest, it learns to fly just a little bit more. But of all the creatures God has made, the eagle is the one, I guess, who cares the most and trains more properly his own. And God says he wants us to have the face of an eagle. I think he means that. In fact, Moses in Deuteronomy tells us that the Lord is like that to us. The Lord wants us to train our own. The Lord wants us to turn out young people who are dedicated Christian young people. You've heard me say this all this summer. I've been so encouraged. I don't know. It's like we had a little recession about our young people for a while. And the senior class of the school bothered me last year. Oh, the good kids, but I was worried about them. And it seems like this summer, just one after another. I heard the other day, who was it, Dave, were you, Dave? Who was it? Chambers? Yeah, the big guy that's 10'8", sang in that group while ago, stood behind this pulpit here. God's called him to preach now. Surrender his life to preach the gospel. One by one, I've seen our seniors and others, I've seen them this summer as they've been growing in grace. I have no greater joy than that. None. None. I have no greater joy, none, than to see from here on up from the nursery to the beginners, the primary to the junior high to the high school. I don't know a greater joy than seeing Ray Bordway lead our choir, one of my teenage boys. I don't know a greater joy than going to the deacon's meeting and looking out and seeing Lanny Cantway there, one of our teenage boys that grew up here. I don't have a greater joy than to get on my knees on Saturday night and pray through all of my preacher boys I do every week. Over 100 of them now, bless God. Our young people. I want to be an eagle, have an eagle face. I want to have a face like a lion with courage. I want to have a face like an ox with labor. I want to have a face like an eagle with vision. And also to care for my own. Satan's after our kids. We've got to keep at it all the time. All the time. Something else. Did you know that? I like this one. The older we get, Doc. When's your birthday, Doc? The older we get, the more I like this one. Did you know that an eagle attains its youth longer than any other bird? Did you know it retains its youth, and not only its youth, but it retains its energy to a great, great age. And I like that. I look at old Dr. John Rice, 80 years of age next December. I was sitting on the platform down at Murfreesboro, and Dr. Rice sitting over here. He says he's praying. I call it sleeping. But he's sitting over here, has his eyes shut. I leaned over Dr. Bill Rice and I said, Dr. Bill, I said, it's going to be a big empty spot in my life if that old man leaves before I do. And Dr. Bill looked at me and he said, don't you worry, Dr. Hines. He'll be here when you and I both are gone. Oh, my. I like to see an old man like that preaching 2 and 3 and 4 times a day. You know why? Renews his strength like the eagles. Old Dr. Ford Porter. I was down in Indianapolis a few years ago, and I love Dr. Ford Porter. One of the sweetest men I ever knew. And he's up in years. He had a heart attack. He'd walk about like this. Like Brother Colston does. He'd walk like that. He doesn't stumble as much as Colston, but he'd walk like that. And Dr. Portis said, Dr. Hiles, on this particular time, it was his birthday, and I bought him a suit of clothes for his birthday. And he was so moved. He said, that's the first present I've had so far. He said, Dr. Hiles, can I take you out, show you something? He drove me out to an expressway. He said, see all that property there? He said, God's going to give us that. What are you going to do with it? He said, well, we're going to build a church, move our church out here. Walking about like this. Church out here. And he's going to put we're going to move our college out here, and we're going to have a great complex. And he showed me a master plan he had. Barely could walk. He'll never see the plan, but thank God he still had a vision. Still had a vision. Old Dr. R.G. Lee, 88 years of age. Good night. Preaches like a kid. 88 years of age. Ah, listen to me. I want to have that kind of face. People often say, Brother Hiles, what age do you think you ought to retire? I don't ever plan to retire. You say, well, when you get to heaven? I don't plan to retire when I get to heaven. That's why a lot of you folks are not going to like it. I'm going to be hollering all over heaven. Sure. Some of you lazy rascals. Worn out at 35. Old at 45. I want to be an eagle. One old lady down in Texas. She's just tired all the time. She says, I'm always tired. I don't know and I don't care. All I want is my rocking chair. Just tired all the time. All the time. Just tired. One day the pastor came by and said, what's wrong? She said, I'm just tired. Always tired. Can't sleep at night. Bill Harvey says he can't sleep at night either. He says he sleeps pretty good in the morning, fairly good in the afternoon, but tosses and tumbles all night long. But so can't sleep at night, and I'm just tired all the time. And the pastor said, let me comfort your heart. Let me read you some scripture. He read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, how that the Lord's going to come. But he said before that, so the Bible says, they that sleep in Christ. He said, now one of these days, you're going to go to heaven and your body's going to just lie there in the grave and you just rest and rest and rest and rest. She said, no. She said, it'd be just my luck for the resurrection to come the next morning after I die. I have to get up again. I don't know about you. Listen, I don't know about you, but the older I get, how I'm going to kick just to be sure I can still kick. I don't even slow down. But how's you going to work yourself to death? Show me 10 people who ever did. Face of a lion, courage, strength. Face of an ox, work, sacrifice, cooperation. Face of an eagle, vision, soaring higher and higher and higher, raising our own, caring for our own. And then attaining our youth. Keep on going. You folks have heard me tell this. You new folks haven't. One of the sweetest things I ever saw in my life. I was preaching in Durham, North Carolina. I preached one morning on Psalm 8. What is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that thou visitest him, for thou hast made him the Lord of the angels, thou hast crowned him with glory and honor, and so forth. I told how important every man is to God. Toward the end of my message, a little fellow jumped up, 80 years of age. Didn't have a coat on. Had his sleeves rolled up about to here. Little arms looked like broomsticks. He stood up. With a quivering voice, he said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm 80 years old. Been preaching since I was a young feller. I've been looking forward all my life to retiring. I want to do some fishing. Been loaf a bit. I'm 80. Just a few months ago, I retired.
preaching. But he said, that young feller.
It's been a while.
He said, that young feller this morning talked about how important all of us are.
Little old 80-year-old fella who shriveled up, his arm looked like a broomstick. He lifted his little arms up in the air, and he screamed at the top of his voice. But he said, brethren, I am re-enlisting. Some of you folks ought to do. Have a face like an eagle. Face like an ox. Face like a lion. Now, combining strength and courage with hard work and self-sacrifice. Combining that with vision, caring for your own, and working till you see Christ. I've often wondered where I'd want to be when Jesus calls me home, or if he comes. Maybe I'd like to be on my knees, as I was a few times this week, beside some poor person receiving Christ. And maybe that's where I'd like to go. Or maybe I'd like to be preaching, right in the middle of a sermon. Maybe I'd like to go that way. Whichever way it is, brother, I want to die with my boots on. Die with my boots on. There's a fourth face. Just mention it. Face of a man. Face of a lion, strength and courage. Face of an ox, work and sacrifice. Face of an eagle, soaring high, greater vision. But the fourth face. Face of a man. Why? It's like me to choose another animal. No, one face has to be a man. Why? Because no matter how courageous a lion is, or how strong it is, or how hard an ox works, or how sacrificial it is, or how high an eagle soars, an eagle, or an ox, or a lion cannot fellowship with the God who made them. That's reserved for man. And so I want one face, strong and courageous. Another, sacrificial and hardworking. Another, vision, rearing my own. Another, a face like a man. For only man can look up and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Only man can hear his God talk to him. Only man of all God's creations has a book where God reveals himself to him. Everything was made for man. Everything. Let me tell you a story, and I didn't intend to tell it. I use it in a sermon I preach about once a year. But I think I'll close with it tonight. We came to Hammond. I had two suits of clothes. One to wear while the other one is in the cleaners. And put in the cleaners while I was wearing the other one. That's all I had. Both of them summer suits. I'll never forget the first day it turned cold up here. I ran out of gas. About a half a mile from the service station. And before I got to the service station, it was 184 below zero. 86 inches of snow. But I had two suits. First full day I came to work. Same office where I am now. First full day. Secretary buzzed and said, somebody to see you. I thought it'd be the mayor. You know. Looked out and I saw an old bum. Forgive me. I don't mean to call him a bum. But he's what you and I would call a fallen man. I've never seen a man quite like that one. He had a cap in his hand. The cap was yellow. His hair was all tousled. His face was as filthy as could be, and his beard was long. His neck was caked with filth, and his shirt was white. Had been white, but now was yellow. His trousers were wrinkled and dirty, and his shoes had splits over each toe, so made a double E out of an A. Widened the shoes. I told the secretary I couldn't see him because I was unpacking my books, and she said, I think you sure that's what you want to say? And I said, no, send him in. And the old man came in. We knew, and I told him how to be saved. Gave him one of my suits. And I told him how to be saved. While I was kneeling, I put my arm around him. Oh, the odor was obnoxious. All of a sudden, I saw the 8th Psalm flash on the wall of my study. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Thou hast set thy glory above the heavens. For out of the mouths of babes and sucklings is thou ordained strength. And on it goes. Then he goes on to say, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him no lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast put all things under his feet. And on. All sheep and oxen, beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. I saw it on the wall of my study. As that old man was praying, getting saved, I smelled his odor, saw his old dirty hat, saw his filthy face and his long shaggy hair and his caked neck and his yellow shirt, his wrinkled trousers and filthy shoes. And soon it dawned on me, for this old man God made the worlds. The reason the sparrow sings in the sky like a heavenly choir is because of this old man. The reason God takes his paintbrush and streaks the sky with a rainbow is for this old man. The reason the daffodils grow in the meadow is for this old man. The reason the tree and its trunk and its strength and the autumn leaves look like Joseph's coat of many colors is for this old man. The reason the roses grow and the reason they look like queens, each rose looks like a queen stepping off her throne, is for this old man. The reason the birds sing in the sky and the reason God causes the sun to shine at day and the moon by night is for this old man. The reason God hangs the stars in the heavens like chandeliers dotting the sky is for this old man. The reason Jesus Christ left heaven was for this old man. The reason Jesus lived 33 lonely years away from the Father was for this old man. The reason Jesus went to Calvary and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, was for this old man. The reason Jesus dipped his own soul into hell and suffered your sin and mine, paid your penalty and mine, was for this old man. As I knelt there, I kept thinking the reason that our Lord went to the grave for 3 days and three nights was for this old man. The reason he rose triumphantly after 3 days and three nights was for this old man. The reason he sits on the right hand of the Father tonight is for this old man. The reason that he's going to come again and receive us unto himself is for this old man. The reason he's going back to heaven to prepare a place for this old man. Suddenly, I looked at him. In a moment, he had a derby in his hand. His hair was neatly combed. His face was freshly washed and freshly shaved. His neck was clean. The shirt was white. His trousers neatly pressed. His shoes shined to a high gloss. I stood to my feet and looked at him. And I said, sir, it's been such an honor for me to have you in my study today. I'm so glad you came. Someone of your dignity, someone of your majesty, someone of your importance. What an honor. That old man, I can still see that old man walking out the door, scratching his head, wondering what I was talking to him for, like he was, if he were a king. Walked out the door. I was preaching down here at the rescue mission on the old mission, not ours, but the old Union Gospel Mission. One night, Dave was six years old. He went with me. I preached that night, and the mission superintendent got up and he said, before we have Pastor Hiles to speak, we have the assistant superintendent of our mission. He's going to play a guitar and sing a solo. He came out to play, and I looked and I said to Dave, son, where have I seen that fellow? I've seen him somewhere. I know who he is. That's the fellow who came to my office. And now he's the assistant superintendent of this mission. He stood there with a tie on and nice trousers and a white shirt. played and sang about the love of God. And my mind went back to the 8th Psalm. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man that thou visitest him? That night I went home, late at night. I heard a call from the upstairs. Dad? Dad? I said, yes, son, what is it? Dave said, Dad, you think I'd get saved tonight? I said, yes, you can. He came down the living room, and I went through the old Roman road plan of salvation I've gone through so many times. And Dave bowed his head and received Christ as his Savior. Man, somebody, that last face is the most important of all. Face of a man.